I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Boner time, boner time, boner time. Talk about boner time.
No? Did you ever watch that show with that guy called Boner as the nickname? I think
what?
It was like, was it Family Ties? No, it was... Oh, it was like the show from the, I think it was the 80s.
You was didn't. It like a nice way of saying Boner?
No, his name was Boner. That was his
Boner.
Nickname. What show was it?
I don't know.
Was it Step by Step? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of when you say Boner.
Well, the show's about boners today, at least. Or, you know, half boners, semi-boners. It's erections. We're talking about stronger erections. And I like when you get like a solid number of what we're talking about. The 7 psychological hacks for stronger erections. And I am so excited for this episode. We already recorded it, but I love Dr. Mawali. She is fucking awesome. We're going to have her back on the show, I think, many times. I think
growing pains.
Oh, she Googled it. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Boner. That's your new nickname.
Oh,
my God.
I was hoping you didn't see me Google it, but you did.
You know how there's like the person in the back that will look up your show notes while you're recording?
Yes.
Joe Rogan's Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
You are like Sir Boner.
Yeah.
Does that work?
No.
Okay.
But I like it. I like it. Oh, God.
Okay. So you already heard what we're talking about today. We're super excited about this episode. Erections are a very hot topic because a lot of people have shame around them. And there's a lot of ideas on how erections should be. So this is all about how to work with your mind on how to have stronger, bigger, better erections, or just erections in general. Maybe stronger is not the word. Just like I struggle with erections.
And Dr. Nazanin,
she's amazing.
She is so cool. She actually has a podcast in Farsi as
yes.
well. And I love that. So she is not only brilliant, but she's changing the world
yes.
in multiple languages.
Yeah.
So I loved having her on the show.
Yeah, she's awesome.
We were on her show as well.
Yeah. The Sexology podcast. Yeah,
fun.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
So stay tuned whether you have a boner or not, or you want a boner, or all boners. Boner,
maybe you'll
boner,
get
boner.
A boner from the show.
Boner just makes me laugh.
Let's yeah.
I mean erection. So when you see a hard cock, I would just say hard cock. What would you say? So if you're like in a romantic environment or like, I don't know, like something that is personal to you.
For making just, love, Amy?
Yeah, for making love. And you want to comment on the hardness of the cock. Would you call a boner an erection? Like your erection is so hot right now.
No, I say cock is super hard. Or
yeah.
Your cock. That's
you
what I always
say boner
that's
either.
Like, no, I don't really know if I think boner is a sexy word.
It's funny. No, yeah.
Is it a sexy word to you?
No. I would never be like, hey, babe,
Bono.
Your boner is so hot
oh,
right now.
Oh, Bono.
Oh. All right. Anyways, squirrel. Okay, Chip, I want to tell you something. So I know that we are big fans of meditation, and Calm is our number one meditation app. And I also want to share a sexy meditation that I've been doing when I can't sleep in the middle of the night.
Which I didn't meditate today, and that's why I'm squirreling out.
You are squirreling the fuck out today.
This proves point. So what proves point now?
Proves point now. You need to go home and do Calm
app. We also drank too much at your mom's house last night.
That's true. But it was nice.
It was beautiful.
We had lobster.
Lobster.
We had a lobster fight.
We did. Well, not really. We didn't waste the lobster.
No, I ate it.
So what's your meditation
thing? Okay, so here's my thing. So in the middle of the night when I can't... So here's my issue with sleep. It's usually falling asleep. That's my problem. It's not waking up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep. That's
okay.
The thing for a
so
lot
you get
of people.
Deep sleep when you do sleep. It's
just hard
to
fall asleep.
Go down.
Yes.
Okay.
So
what
that's
about counting
thing?
Sheep in your sleep?
So no, that's fucking bullshit. So the Calm app, I've utilized for falling asleep. It's been really helpful, the sleep stories in particular. But that's not what this is about exactly. So in the middle of the night, if I do wake up and it's seemingly hard to fall asleep, but in hard for me is like, it's not that hard. It's a little bit like, I don't know, can I fall asleep? I've been using my erotic spank bank and creating erotic fantasies, like stories, sexy stories. Mm-hmm. It's fantasies. I'm like, okay, then in my mind, I'm painting the picture with my imagination. And then this happens. It usually involves something with anal at some point and like, you know, dominance and submission. But I'll start to just fantasize about something and I'm not touching myself either. I'm just like closing my eyes and having this fantasy space and it puts me to sleep. But here's the cool thing that happens. It continues on in my dreams and I get to continue having this fantasy that I just created in my sleep space, my like semi-sleep space, continues on in my dreams and I'm still in it. And now it just like it's doing its own thing now. Hmm. Does that make sense at all? It's
it
like,
makes sense, but you don't get turned on and then...
Oh, I'm turned on, but I'm not touching myself or anything like that. And if I woke up and I wanted to, I would. And I have done that before.
So you don't have wank?
No, but, and I have been doing this for the last like month or two.
Wanking?
No, I've been waking for a long time. Waking up out of this fantasy space that I started in my wake space, and then going off into my dream space, and it continues on. Then I wake up and I'm like, I need to masturbate right now. What I'm saying about this is, number one, it's super hot, gets me turned on, like connected to my body. Number two, I am falling asleep because I'm just telling myself a story, and I am so easily captivated by sexy stories. But I'm creating it myself. So in my mind, I'll have this picture of like, okay, so I'm over here and my partner's right there. And they're like, hey, like proposition your ass to me and prop it up right here. And, then I get a spanking. You've been a bad girl. And here's some anal threat with a butt plug. And then I fall asleep and then it continues on.
Oh, I was like, you should start writing those down, but then you wouldn't be able to fall asleep.
I'm using it for my erotic meditation in the middle of the night.
So it's sexy erotic meditation that helps you. Okay, well, I
didn't
try.
Even think of this as like, it just started happening. I was like, I'm kind
of
bored.
PM just fall asleep. So that's not good.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that at like 3 a.m. I got to get up.
Oh, that's true.
You get all groggy. Get so grogs. I do this at like, you know, the middle of the night thing. And then it's what I can utilize in my own brain. And it's entertaining. I'm not bored. I'm like kind of turned on. If I wanted to masturbate, I would just whip out the vibrator in my hand. But anyways, I've been really enjoying that.
Well, don't take melatonin.
Not at 3 a.m., no.
No, in general, it fucks with your hormones.
That is a hit or miss conversation, and we are not experts in that conversation.
No, but it did fuck with mine, and then I started diving deeper into the science, and it is true.
There
are... It can raise your testosterone, then lower your...
So yeah. We are not a podcast on this topic. No. But so we're going to veer out of this one because
melatonin gives you weird dreams too.
Yes, but I've also heard from some people that certain doses of really quality melatonin that is not hit or miss, where you get 10 milligrams when it says one, is okay for your body.
But not all the time.
Exactly.
People think they're eating vitamins though. This is like it's a very big misconception. So, and what I, because
but I
was
think this
that.
Erotic fantasy every night would be healthy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it'd be fine.
And then it's kind of like melatonin because you're dreaming about it. It carries on into your dreams.
And then I feel really sexy.
I took valerian root last night and that made my dreams real weird.
Yeah?
But in a good way.
Were you baiting in the middle of the night?
No, but I did dream about like some dude dropping off sex toys. It was like this fat German man. Ooh. It was like Santa-y. It was weird. I'm not going to lie.
The holidays are coming up, y'all.
So, all right, okay, so let's talk about the vibe.
I want to say one other thing. So I heard this term on a podcast. It was on the Double Team podcast, and it was with a person that's coming in our show. Dr. Tara's coming in our show soon. But it's a new terminology. It's new terminology for losing your virginity, and I love it. Sexual debut.
Nice.
So instead of I lost something, and this applies to all genders, you had your sexual debut. You're a penis owner. I had my sexual debut. And so this is something that people are saying. What do you think?
Sure.
You seem hit or miss. You're kind of like not that excited about it.
Oh, I mean, it's cool.
I kind of like it.
I think I just say I had sex for the first time.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
When they had sex for the first time. The only issue with that is that when you're talking about two people and one has had sex for the first time, the other one hasn't. We had sex for the first time doesn't necessarily say it's my first time having sex.
Yeah.
So it was my sexual debut.
Yeah, I like it. It's so hard to break people of the I lost my virginity thing. It's like, no matter how many times even I say it, like when I had sex for the first time, I still am like, when I lost my virginity, no, when I had sex for the first time.
I didn't lose shit.
When I made my sexual debut.
Yeah, I like that. Here she comes. Okay.
It's kind of like Broadway. Okay, so let's talk about the Vibe Expo when you're going to make your debut.
I'm making my debut in LA with April on January 12th and 13th. This is 2024. And this, y'all, is free. This is a big expo and experience with a whole bunch of humans there to learn about sex toys, to learn about pleasure, to buy sex toys. I don't know. It's a whole bunch of humans that are there and they're very excited
when
to
we
go.
Went in Brooklyn, it was so much fun. Awesome.
Yeah.
I was emceeing back then.
Yeah, you were. You're like, hey, everyone. Hey,
yo, it's April. So I'm not emceeing because we are. I don't think there is an MC. Maybe there is, but
maybe.
We will be there. We're having two different workshops.
Yep.
And we're also having our books for sale and for signing.
Yep.
So come and see us at 4 p.m.
Both of our events are on at 4 p.m. on the Friday and Saturday. So this is 12th and 13th of January. So I think 4 p.m. the first day, that Friday, we are doing a live podcast recording where you can come and be anonymous but still be present for a live podcast recording. And then on Saturday we're teaching a oral for everyone. Is that
oral for all?
Oral for all workshop.
They're
so 30 minutes. Join us.
It's kind of like a an all you can eat.
Ooh, all the oral you can eat.
All the oral you can eat.
Meow.
Buffet. Okay. And then go to vibeshow.com. We do recommend at least getting the tickets. They're
yes.
free. However, you need to know if you are going to show up so we can have enough.
They might have a capacity thing going on, right? Like there might be limited tickets. So
and
go
it's at
get it.
The Lowe's Hollywood. Did you say that? Lowe's
I
Hollywood?
I did not.
Oh, it's at the Lowe's, which is a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
We're staying there.
Yeah. Our room number is 555.
No, we don't know our room number. Also, I want to point out April 2024.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be?
Tulum, Mexico.
Have you been to Tulum before?
I've never been to Tulum. I've been all over Mexico, not Tulum.
I was there last year, June. Loved it. Like, I want to go back.
Me too.
There's cenotes.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful beach that's right where our villa is. We have a private chef.
Yeah.
We have a regular
I know someone else is coming from the last one. They're like,
back.
I can't wait to go back. There's
that's
like three other
cool
people from the last one that are like, we're on the fence.
They
like,
are on the fence.
It's not about the retreat. It's more like making the effort to go and do the thing. But it was so beautiful. So go to our website, shamelesssex.com. You can see we have a video there about our retreat. And it's a collaboration of clips from our last retreat in Costa Rica, showing also the property that we're going to in Tulum. And we are so excited. This is for vulva owning folks, so women. And we are going to do 5 nights, 6 days in Tulum.
It is limited. Mm-hmm. It's limited. And we will open it up eventually, but we want to do one more retreat with
open
it up to dudes, because dudes have been asking, and this will happen probably in 2024.
Yeah.
However, this is one more just for the folks that identify as women out there. So please go to shamelesssex.com. You can check out the We Travel. You just click the link. And it's not some 200-person retreat. It's very intimate. There are a limited number of spots, and you can check those. And Amy will be there. I will be there. We'll have our wonderful executive assistant, Paige.
Yeah.
And then we will have sex educator. And not that we aren't, but you know, sometimes it's nice to hear from some outside
maybe
sources.
Some other non-Amy and Aprils around.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you like some Amy and Aprils, but I hear some.
Check it out. If you think, and I believe that for everything you're getting, it's a really good price. It's basically a vacation. In some clicking.
Yeah, come join us. It's going to be magical. All right, everyone, you ready for a sex question?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I want to say this person came to one, I won't say what one, but came to one of our book launches.
Okay.
It's someone that's been listening to our podcast regularly. They came to a book launch recently for our Shameless Sex book launch that just happened.
I won't say it out loud, but I bet I know.
Yeah, you probably know. My spouse of 50 years has lost her libido. It started with the COVID shutdown.
I know who it is.
My libido skyrocketed and hers tanked. So we started some sex therapy via Zoom. Then our adult daughter, had emergency surgery and my spouse broke her leg while being a caretaker.
Oh.
Yeah, it's raining. When it rains, it pours. Since then, sexual intimacy has almost ceased. I am depressed and sad. Do you have any suggested therapy that my spouse and I might benefit from? Her leg has healed. Daughter is doing great, but our sex life is still dead.
I know who this is. An XO. You are so cool.
Oh my God. I love that human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's awesome.
Yes. Yes. Awesome human. So yeah, that's a lot of things all at once. And that's multiple years of this because of the COVID shutdown. It started with the COVID shutdown. So are we talking like that? Is that 2020?
2020, 2021.
This is a 50 plus year relationship.
Congratulations on 50 years.
Yeah.
I think that in itself is difficult, and there will be ebbs and flows.
But that's such a huge change.
And I don't even think ebbs is a word, but it should be.
It is.
Okay, good.
Yeah, ebbs.
There would be, because I thought it was not plural. This is already ebbing.
I think ebbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that happens, right? Relationships go up and down, up and down. And breaking a leg, I will tell you, when the meniscus thing happened and I wasn't able to walk, sex went out the window. And then if you put like a family like health scare where your daughter had an emergency surgery on the table too, there's nothing sexy in that.
No.
Now that things have started getting to a different plateau plane, hopefully it's not a mountain that you're going to have to climb, but it could be. I think your sex life is not dead, okay? It can be resuscitated.
Yeah.
And there are things that you could do. So you're asking for a suggested therapy. Now, there's so many therapies.
There's so many things that you can do. And we talk about this in our book, Shameless Sex, the book, where, you know, it's working with where you're at now, right? Like life threw you some curveballs. And these are some major curveballs. And those are, it's not just a one day curveball. These are like multiple years of curveballs. And sex drive and libido and bodies and things can change. So working with where are we at now and how do we move forward? I think one thing that can happen though for a lot of people, especially vulva owners, but this is all people, when we get stuck in a space of I have no libido or desire based on all kinds of things in life that's happening, grieving, injuries, etc., it can continue on even when you're healed, right? Like grieving's over or my body is healed from the injury, but I've been so set in being an injured or low libido person who was injured in some way emotionally or physically that it's really hard to get out of. So that in itself is like the more time we put into the bank of being a low libido person, the more time it takes to get out of it. Now, so my question is, well, how does your spouse feel? Does she want to get out of this? Is she willing to do the work with you to meet you or to find the new way of being sexual with herself and with you? Or is she kind of like, this is just how I am?
Right. It doesn't say that. And it could be. So obviously 50 years of marriage, these are folks that are in probably, I'm assuming at least their 60s, since you can't really be under the age of 18 in the US to be married. And we met him. So hormones are going to play a huge role. And libido, now it doesn't matter what genitals you have under your clothing, libido can shift and change, and it can differ when there's stresses like with this. So getting those checked, and I hear so many of my friends, I have 60-year-old friends, I have 70-year-old friends, I have 50-year-old friends, I have 20-year-old friends. And when I listen to some of my friends in their 50s and 60s talk about how there's no more desire, and whether sometimes they're single, and I ask them about their hormones. Have you had? Most of them are like, no, I've not had. And then they're like, but I just, this is part of it. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You don't, unless you really want to be completely without any sort of pleasure, like if that's not for you, but I know these people and a lot of them are very sexual.
Yeah.
And so coming to terms with, oh, this is just how I am now, that doesn't have to be the case. And we've had episodes with Dr. Castillo, Remy Paillet, who, the reason Amy and I, and can we just talk about, on a different note, like one of our friends, after hearing about our testosterone pellet insertion.
We've been getting pellets.
We've been getting pellets, and it's totally helped my libido also.
Creativity, cognition, so many aspects. Energy.
Yes, energy, but also no more night sweats. Like there are so many
benefits.
For me,
I have a genetic disease that threatens my bones, and it's like, I mean, testosterone is linked to bone health. So,
right.
Yeah.
And so, and we're obviously not in our 60s or 70s.
And we're not MDs.
But after we interviewed, and April Umek, when she was on our show, she's in her 40s and she had testosterone pellet implant. And so we were like, okay. So one of our friends got one as well, and she loves it, and she's in her late 30s. And so I'm bringing this back to, we're not going to advocate for you getting a testosterone implant for your spouse. She would obviously have
you
to
make that
she would have to do that. However, if she is, as Amy was saying, if this is something that is important to her as well, like having the sexual connection that you had previously or connecting in that way where you're dropping in, I would start with that.
We're getting a hormone panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might not be testosterone pellets, but hormone panel. Again, we're not doctors, but we have episodes. So if you go to our show and you look up Dr. Castillo, you will learn all about this. And we are huge advocates for this.
The P shot thing.
Yeah. There's so many different things. And so we're talking about like physical, not remedies, but I guess we're kind of remedies, ways to work with the changes in hormones. And this might not be the answer for you, but so some would say that's physical, but hormones affect your brain chemistry. They affect your emotional state. So this is physical and emotional. So those are some ideas.
And that is a type of therapy. It's hormone replacement therapy.
It is a type of therapy.
And you ask for suggested therapies.
Exactly.
And so talk therapy may be
this. I mean, talk therapy could actually be good for this though, because I'm also wondering about, you know, so since this sexual intimacy has almost ceased, I am depressed and sad. I have so many questions. Does your partner know you're depressed and sad? Are they aware of the severity of it? How severe is it? How much is this really affecting your life? How clued in are they on your feelings about the major change in your sexual connection and their libido? And her libido. I say they, yeah, that happens all the time. And also, how much do they care about it, right? Like, I'm going to say they, I don't care. How much is that a really big area of concern for you and for your partner? And is there other ways you can advocate for it in being really important if you feel like it hasn't been advocated for?
And I do think the first point that you brought up in the beginning before I brought up the hormone thing is the most important puzzle piece to this jigsaw. Because if she doesn't care, or she's fine with it, or not that she doesn't care, but if she just is putting it off and not prioritizing her pleasure and the pleasure as a couple, as a relationship, then that is a whole different conversation. And that's when the therapy that you're speaking to is going to be, it's going to be so important. It's going to be, it's because you're obviously saying it's majorly important to you. If she doesn't feel the same way, then that's when some mutual discussions can come in, and having almost a mediator, but also someone that can ask the right questions.
Yeah.
In front of you both, and if that can help.
If one of her issues is being disconnected from her libido, then we talked about the hormones, but, you know, a somatic sex therapist of some sort, a sex coach, could help her, if she wants to feel more connected to her unique and now changed libido and desire herself. So, but she has to decide to do that. So one of my recommendations would be someone who is certified in some form of somatic sex therapy. And also, I'm going to take therapy out of there, but sex coaching. So Somatica is a really great modality. There's a lot of people that are Somatica practitioners.
Do you know where people can find folks?
I think if you go to somatica.com or something, you can look up practitioners and find where they are. And it will be a little more, bit more of embodied therapy. But, you know, your partner needs to be on board. You can go do it yourself, but your partner needs to be on board to go and join you in this journey. And I would say, make it if you're going to suggest to your partner to do this, it's a we conversation. It's not, you know, you're the one that doesn't have the libido. It's, I want more connection.
He has the book.
He owns our book, but so you're phrasing in this way that is inclusive, and not like some one person has the problem.
And if you haven't gotten our book, everyone else that wants to know about get our book, Shameless Sex. It's about choosing your own pleasure path.
Yeah.
And getting the sex life that you've always wanted. So check that out to our beautiful listener. I'm going to do the bio because I think we did a good job answering that.
Yes. We love you. Just wanted to give a shout out to you one more time. Thank you so much for being a Shameless Sex fan. We're so glad we got to meet you in person, and keep on doing the good work, and you got this. Yeah.
All right. Dr. Nezanin Mowali is a sex and relationship expert and has helped many individuals and couples improve their sex lives and restore and achieve deep and passionate connections with their partners. In addition to hosting the top 20 rated sexology podcasts, Dr. Mowali launched a similar top rated podcast in Farsi in 2016 and has extensive training in treatment of eating disorders and addiction from some of the nation's leading experts. She is a published researcher who regularly gives talks at major universities and international conferences, and has given therapy, advice, and information on local television shows. To learn more, go to sexologypodcast.com.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here with Dr. Mowali, here to talk about erections. Dun, dun, dun. Just kidding. Not here to scare you about erections. We love erections, and we also love soft cocks. We like all the cocks. We just like cock. We're here to talk
like
about
chickens.
Yes, but sorry, vegans. Maybe some fake and bacon. What's a fake and chicken? What's the name for the fake chicken nugget?
I think it is just called like,
there's a name. No, it's like not like a McNugget. Anyways,
I don't know.
Squirrel. Okay, so We're here to talk about the seven psychological hacks for firm erections. And we are super excited to talk about this because we love cocks, as I said. Also, Dr. Mawali is awesome. We guested it on her show. And I believe the episode is coming out this week, which means that it is in the past. So we're in the future when this comes out. So you're welcome. Hello, future. So you already heard a little bit about Dr. Mawali in our bio and our intro. But Dr. Mawali, can you please tell our listeners how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality? Can you please elaborate a little bit more?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about this conversation. I love the book and I love your show. How I started in the field of sex therapy, it's like I didn't know this was the actual field. So I always had high sex drive. I loved sex. And then one day out of blue, when I was in graduate school, sex started getting painful. It gets worse and worse. And I was trying to, okay, I'm going to muscle through it. And I even when I was in graduate school for psychology, I didn't know sex therapy is a thing. So we started going to couples therapy and like for a long time, we got really good in communication. Communication is important, but sex therapy is its own field. So it wasn't until one of my professors told me, oh, have you tried sex therapy? I went to this wonderful woman for a few sessions. She gave me some tips and we talked about things and completely resolved the issue. I was like, oh my God, I didn't need to be in couples counseling for for that long. And that was like life-changing for me. I was like, oh, I want people to experience what I experienced. So that's how I got to the field of sexual health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So just to circle back, so you had actually gone into not only the field, but you were in sex therapy, getting a session from a sex therapist as well?
Great point. So I was like, my focus back then was trauma. So I was in graduate school for clinical psychology, but I was going into couples therapy when I was struggling, thinking that's the only option. I didn't even know when I was in a graduate program that sex therapy exist. So it wasn't until one of my professor told me, why don't you try this? Which was like life-changing for me.
Oh yeah. Life-changing for everyone else too, because you're incredible. And yeah, when we were on your show, I loved your vibe. I loved talking to you. It was so easy. And I can imagine how incredible you are at what you do. So to bring it back to the show, because this is, I love hack shows and this is hack shows, a hack show, but it's about hacking and like tips and tricks, but let's talk about all things erections. And I love talking about erections, and Amy loves talking about cocks, and I love talking about erections.
Yay. Everyone wins.
So first up, what are some of the main causes of erectile issues when speaking about penis owners?
Well, the first part of the kind of this puzzle is physiological health, right? So in order for you to be able to have a firm erection, you need to be able to have good blood flow. Also, there's a part of it, it's a kind of like your brain registering that the situation is sexy and communicating it with your dick. So it's all are connected. And when people are struggling with erectile functioning, sometimes it could be a physiological issues like a issue with blood flow, health issue. All sorts of kind of illnesses can impact cardiovascular kind of challenges, impact the blood flow, or it could be anxiety related, right? So our mood really impacts our kind of ability to function. So when we feel very, very anxious, it's hard for our penis to stay erect, right? Like evolutionary, it's like based on evolutionary psychology, that is in a way impossible because it's less than your opportunity of survival. The other issue is that at times people didn't think about it. It's like the interpersonal psychosexual context, right? So sometimes maybe your penis works just fine, you're not anxious, but there is something about that context that's not working for you. Perhaps it could be a desire or preference that you have and you're not communicating with your partner, or maybe it's about how like other stuff outside the bedroom impacting the connection with your partner. So it could be any of these things or a combination of things. Sometimes people have some challenges with physiological health, then because of that, they feel anxiety, and that turns to this vicious cycle for them. And with managing the kind of psychological part of things, that can even they can even see improvement regardless of if they're working on a physiological part or not.
So what do you, so say, you know, we had a group of 100 people having erectile issues. What is the percentage, in your opinion, and this is like a guess, right? Like you probably don't have the exact statistics, but for folks where it really is a physiological thing and the percentage of folks where it's more of a psychological issue?
Mm-mm. You know, based on my, so I have a private practice in LA. I see, like, I can honestly say, like, up to 70% of people who come to me, it's purely psychological, relational. Because most people, first they go to their doctor, they do kind of physiological change assessment, and they know that like their hormones are okay, their blood flow is okay. So again, 70%, I would say, like, it's just there's something psychological or relational that impacts their ability to perform.
Not surprised, because yeah, it's all in our head.
And that's a high number.
It
that's
is. Really I mean, it's more than half. Yeah. So that's incredible.
Yeah. Yes. That's. So I think for folks, as we continue on with this, because sometimes when it's physiological, you're like, oh, good, I can just take like the little blue pill. But for some folks, when it's physiological, the little blue pill doesn't always work, right? Like there's actually, for some people, that doesn't help with the blood flow, especially if you're not already getting any blood flow to your genitals. So coming back to the psychological hacks, which might still, my guess is, apply to people who are experiencing physiological hacks. So you have 7 psychological hacks for firm erections. Let's go through each one. What is the first hack?
Well, the first one is the one that often people hear about that. So it's an element of mindfulness and relaxation, because you brought up such a great point when you talked about the sometimes when we are even taking the blue pill, right? Like if you're very anxious, it's not going to work. So in order for the medication to work, you need to be able to feel relaxed in a way. So when I talk about mindfulness, the idea is that sexual arousal is a natural response of our body. When we are in an environment that we think the context is sexy, it is normal for us to experience arousal. But if we're not experiencing arousal, possibly it could be the anxiety that gets in the way. So mindfulness is like being present in the moment. Because what happens, we're feeling anxious or we have performance anxiety, like this radio doom and gloom in our mind start blasting that you're a failure, you're going to lose erection. And then you get involved in this like back and forth between the thoughts, and you lose your connection in the moment with the environment, with what's happening with your partner, with what feels in your body. So it's really helpful to practice the skill of kind of relaxation, mindfulness outside the bedroom. So you can use it inside the bedroom. I'm going to talk about different range of things that can people experiment with. Mindfulness could be like you're sitting in 5 minutes or starting even 3 minutes, focusing on your breath. The thought shows up, you get distracted, you bring it back to your breath. The idea is, again, like help you to kind of bring awareness and practicing the skill of getting back into the moment. Many people get frustrated, say, oh, I cannot focus on my breath. That's okay. The idea is just like practicing bringing it back. Some people, they just like the idea of sitting down is like very overwhelming for them. It's like, I just cannot do it. You can do mindful walking. Like that's something you can go outside, kind of like really anchor yourself in the moment. That's what's happening. What are some of the colors that you see? What are some of the smells that you can smell? So that can bring you in the moment. And there are specific apps like Headspace, Calm, those things that you can start with kind of doing a guided mindfulness. It could be like kind of setting up like the trick is like to start with 3 minutes and then increase it. And long term, what you want to do when you are in sexual setting is like you notice that chatter and then like you're focusing on what's happening in the moment. What am I seeing? What am I feeling? What do I feel in my cock? What do I feel in all around my body? And that helps you to kind of be more present, and that helps with bringing down the anxiety. So that's a skill that I recommend everyone to practice, because it can make you a better lover. It can make you a kind of have a stronger erection and have a better experience. Because one of the complaints that I hear from cisgender couples, like heterosexual couple, is that women say that I see that my partner is in their mind, like when they're struggling with erectile functioning. And what's happening, the partner is trying to focus on not losing an erection and they're not in the moment. And that can be frustrating for the partner. But if instead you're bringing yourself in the moment, you feel more connected and you perhaps lessen the anxiety. So that's number one.
Okay, so with number one, is this something that people should practice outside of touching their genitals, like the mindfulness, or is it in the moment? Like, because I feel like mindfulness is a track to be in the moment when the genitals are involved. Or what do you think about that? And then we can go to number two.
Absolutely. It's a skill that you want to practice outside, right? In the moment when you feel overwhelmed, it's really hard in that moment apart, kind of when you're with your partner to kind of practice mindfulness. But what you want to do is like you start a ritual of that, like daily ritual, non-sexual context. It could be like a mindful eating, walking, or sitting. You do it and then you increase it. And that can help with your performance all around at work and kind of like interactions. And then slowly, gradually, you can maybe experiment with it when you're masturbating, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thinking about, okay, what do I feel while I masturbate? Starting with different parts of your body. And then like you can kind of implement it in the bedroom with your partner.
I love mm-hmm. that. And I want to add something because I never, ever thought I could be a meditator. I could be a masturbator, but I could not be a meditator. And I remember sharing a hotel room with Amy back in the day, and she would do her meditation. She'd have like, I don't know, her headphones on or something, and she'd be meditating. I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe. And I would like be kind of shaming her, not in my head, not to her face.
You bitch.
And I was like, oh. And so when I finally, calm is what really helped me. And like, I love, they've changed my life. I've been like using their app.
Now she meditates more than I do.
And now I meditate more than her. But I will say I had to first start with, I had to lay down and I helped my partner because I remember the first time we ever meditated, he was like, this is a waste of time. Now I'm back. Now I'm off track. Like 5 minutes. He was like mad because I was like, let's just turn on this app and just lay down in the bed and like listen to the guided meditation. And he, the first time, and then slowly he shifted. And now he is like, are we going to meditate today after this many years, 6 years? But
his boners
are, I mean, better than I've ever seen for 55. I mean, he's 55 and I'm like, dude, I've experienced 20-year-olds that don't have as many boners. And I just want to bring up that for me as a fast-paced human and for my partner as a fast-paced human, it did help. I had to lay down and listen at first. So I didn't think I was meditating. I was relaxing and changing my relationship with what I thought meditating looked like or should be helped me as well. So if anybody out there is like, fuck meditation or like, this is going to be a waste of my time. It honestly has changed my life. And so thank you for making that the first element too. So moving on to number two, I had to share that. And thank you. And Amy, I'm sorry I shamed you back then in my head.
You bitch.
I didn't even know. Now I'm mad.
I know.
It's like 8 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Well, I didn't know I'm talking to sex experts and professional meditators.
You know what? I could do better. I could do better at meditating lately.
Well, the second thing I want to talk about is focusing on overall pleasure versus performance. I know sometimes when I talk about this, people think about, okay, I'm saying this because I think they are not performing, like they're not able to perform. But it's really a game changer. It helps you, first of all, to build more arousal. It helps you to be in the moment, kind of thinking about, okay, what are we doing that we can make things more exciting. Even I sometimes work with couples that they are in the journey of kind of like fertility journey. And like part of the journey is like within certain hours, they have to have sex multiple times. And it's common for people to struggle with performance issues because it's a high stress situation. What I often tell them to kind of do in order to get them back in track is this kind of like focus on the pleasure overall, which could be kind of like even engaging in a kink that's not intercourse focus, or maybe experimenting with these different types of pleasure, because that helps you to kind of break that performance anxiety. Because what happens is when we're only focusing on performance, that increases our anxiety because that increases that chatter inside. And also we are missing the cues of what's happening in the room, in the interaction that helps us to kind of build more arousal. We know that like many people, in order to have more intense orgasms, they do edging, and edging is building arousal. So if you are focusing on the journey, exploring different types of pleasure, kind of building, kind of working on psychological arousal, physiological arousal, versus focusing on this linear path, that can really help you to A, become a better lover, and B, build up more arousal.
Time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in, and it helps keep this podcast free to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the performance piece, the like, I have to do the best job or a good job or go all the way or last for 20 minutes or half an hour or 5 seconds, whatever it is is not helpful. And we talk about this on our show and in our book too. We talk about how pressure is good for certain things. It's good for, you know, G-spots, prostate stimulation.
Pressure cooking food,
massages. So much for, like, you know, super aroused genitals when we're like, oh, I have to behave and act in a certain way. So, yeah, I think that that's definitely super helpful. I'm a huge fan of also like getting rid of the goals if possible and staying with the sensations. Easier said than done. But that's why the psychological hack number one is helpful. That meditation practice helps to like just stay with what's now instead of what I think I need to do and the performance piece. Okay. What's number three? I'm so excited.
Well, number three is working on building a sexual self-confidence. Sometimes people, when they think about sexual confidence, they think about it's either something I have or I don't have. But that's absolutely something that you can cultivate. The first step through kind of building sexual confidence is listen to your self-talk. What are some of the things that you tell yourself around your sexual self, like in the moment and inside and outside the bedroom? And how accurate are those stories? Because what happens is some of the stories at a certain point, maybe that they were accurate, but right now they're not accurate anymore. It could be like maybe one lover 10 years ago said this about my penis or this about my ability as a lover, but now I'm kind of hooked on that story. The first step is thinking about, okay, maybe that was then and this is now, or how accurate is that self-talk? So, and if it's not accurate, what would be a neutral thought that I can replace it? Like maybe I cannot be kind of going from this place of like, I'm broken, I cannot do this, going to this place of I'm the best lover. But a neutral place could be that maybe I'm a good enough lover, or like I had lovers in the past that they enjoyed being with me. So kind of something that feels neutral, or if neutral is something that's difficult, kind of catch the thoughts, have this mantra or affirmation that you can kind of like use in the moment. Like, I'm a great lover. My dick is great. So something that helps you, that you can kind of personal mantra that you can say over and over. The other part of it is like practicing self-compassion. Sometimes we're constantly kind of attached to this dictator inside, that like when we are making a slight mistake, like that part of us comes on the driver's seat and tells us, oh, you're not good. You're broken. No one want to have sex with you. I want you to, my invitation is to kind of practice self-compassion. Self-compassion is like bringing the mindfulness, going back to the hack number one, and kind of bringing kindness to it. That like, what would you say your friend, like your best friend telling you this, what would you say? Because in reality, that most adults, if you're above age 18 and having sex, at times you struggle with getting an erection, maintaining erection. That's very common. It doesn't say anything about you or your personhood. So kind of like having this self-compassionate voice is really, really helpful. Another thing is that like focus on the things that you're good at in sexual experiences, like lean into your strength. What are some of the things that I'm good at? Because ask your partner that what's important, because sometimes we think about it's all about how long I'm having a penetration, kind of penetrative sex, and like well, how many orgasms my partner have, which could be part of it. But also it's important to think about what are some of the things that we value? Why is this enjoyable? So we can kind of identify our strength. And lastly, is that thinking about sexual skills is a skill. You can cultivate it, you can learn it. So maybe your partner is interested, I don't know, BDSM, you being more assertive in the bedroom. That doesn't say anything about you. It's just a matter of, okay, if you need to improve your backhand in tennis, you hire a coach. It's the same for kind of building self-confidence in the bedroom.
I love that we're talking about how psychology, because in particular, and all of these hacks that can help you move through this, these psychological barriers that can exist to get firmer cocks. And I thought about this last one that you talked about, because when I first met my partner, and I just mentioned during the first hack, after the first hack, that meditation has helped with improving my sex life. But my partner, when I first met him, he had never had issues with erections before. So he told me. And when we first got together, I remember that he was, because he was so in his head about me being a sex person, a sex expert,
dun, dun, dun.
A person that was quote unquote, someone that he didn't know exactly how he should be performing, not knowing my sexual history with partners. Like, did I need something like this? Did I want something like this? So he was so focused on what he should be doing that he would have issues with like his performance And I was like, oh my God, like, is something wrong with me? Right. Which is also like from the flip side, an issue. And I'm not shaming him at all. I never shamed him. I wasn't like, what's wrong with you? I was like, what's wrong with me? And I remember talking to him about it. And he was like, dude, I'm so fucking in my head about, like, you know, being like a sex god to you, that I think it's affecting my cock's erection. I was like, this is 100% proof that, like, performance is in our heads. So I just had to share that story because I haven't really ever shared that. And there's no shame, because now we've worked through so many facets of our relationship, our sexual journey. And it's just proof that if you could get out of your head and start using some of these hacks, and we're going to be on number four of the psychological hacks for firmer erections, that you really can improve your performance abilities and improve your sex life. And that brings me to the number four. So thank you for listening. I just had to share.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you share that, right? Because I think, like, in many kind of, like, circles, and especially heterosexual cisgender men, people are not saying we're struggling. It's just about boasting and saying how amazing lover I am. And they don't talk about how frequently it's hard to maintain an erection. So it's good to normalize that everyone at time, even if you are a partner with a goddess, you can struggle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's go to the next hack, which is a practicing visualization. It's a skill from sports psychology that can be very, very helpful. So that's something that professional athletes, they do. What you do is you want to mentally rehearse, like, being successful in an experience. They kind of, professional athletes, they practice, like, getting a shot, doing it perfectly over and over. So you want to do the same with your kind of sexual experiences. What it entails is that you want to kind of, hopefully you practice some kind of mindfulness, relaxation. And what do you want to do in that situation is you bring in mind the time that you felt you were a great lover, kind of like maybe something from the past or something that you can see yourself doing in future. What are you seeing? What are you smelling? How you initiate sex, or maybe your partner initiates sex. And the more vivid that you make that experience, the more powerful it will be. I want you to kind of immerse yourself in that moment. What are you feeling? What kind of pleasure you give your partner? And kind of like thinking about it in detail. And the other bonus kind of like part of this is some of my clients, they pair it with some kind of scent. So maybe when they're doing kind of this visualization, they kind of have this vanilla scent or lavender scent, whatever it is. So when they are having partner experiences, when they are having this candle on or the scent in the room, it helps them to remember that, okay, there's something I've rehearsed and I can help them feel more confident. Or you can pair it with some kind of a physical touch. Like some of my clients, they do it with kind of putting pressure on part of their hand or arm, and that helps them to get back in their kind of practice. So it's really, really helpful if you do it over and over, because it helps you to kind of like see yourself in that situation. And that's something that I recommend people to practice, especially if they're struggling.
That's so smart. It's like the Pavlov's dog thing with the bell, right? And the dog's like drooling to the bell. And so you're like associating your brain using the senses. You know, you have five senses to work with. And then all of a sudden, when you're in a new experience, that, and then you bring back that experience, that whatever the color or the smell you're talking about, or the sound, if it was the bell and your little dog, it will remind you, like, oh, here's something good. Oh, here's good things, instead of, oh no, it's not going to be good. We had someone guest on our show. I think it's Forrest Andrews, who's talking about prostate stimulation, and he's big on mantras for sex, especially if it's like, you know, if you feel like there's some sexual issue, your mantra, whatever you're saying to yourself, is kind of the opposite of that. And it's almost a little bit like fake it till you make it. We're not talking about faking orgasms, everyone, but like the power of believing what you're saying. And I actually tried that personally with, not with erection issues, although we do get clip boners, everyone. I do have a pussy and I get clip boners. But no, I tried it more so with a block that I have around receiving oral sex and having orgasms with oral sex, or even enjoying a mouth on my pussy. And I was practicing that in my head, like I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. Now, if I was feeling pain or extreme discomfort and not enjoying it, I wouldn't do this. It was more like it was kind of neutral, and I didn't have this big like, fuck yes, I love this. And I found pleasure there when I did that. And it was really, really powerful. So I love that you
said that.
Instead of
saying like, this isn't going to do it.
Yeah, this is going to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all right. I like this. Like, this is good. This feels
it's
good.
It's kind of ticklish. Right. Is this over yet? Instead, I was like, oh, as I'm saying that to myself, there's actually some really good stuff here. So I think that actually really is powerful, not just like super hippy dippy. Okay, what about number five? I want to keep going. So exciting.
This is like a little bit controversial. I'm sure that their clients, when they hear, like the listeners that hear it, they might feel a little bit kind of have a reaction. So I tell people to kind of schedule playing time, or sometimes people talk about a scheduling sex. And I tell you exactly why it's important. Because sometimes people think about, oh no, we want the sex to be spontaneous and passionate, and scheduling sex or scheduling playtime gets the way of that. But I think if you're scheduling sex, first of all, no one says that you cannot have passionate sexual experiences. But what happens is you can build anticipation. You can plant sexy seeds in the interaction with your partner, and that can build with building psychological arousal and helping you get in the mood. The other part of it, it's help you to do kind of prepare for this playtime. And many of my clients, what they do is like, paired with doing something that they enjoy doing. They feel good about themselves. I have clients that they love boxing. They feel in a state of flow when they're boxing. They do boxing first, and then like they know that come home and they have a sexy time with their partner. So it's really helpful to help yourself to feel ready, your mind, your body. And also it helps you to have dedicated time, because one thing that gets in the way of people experience arousal is like when you have a schedule that's crazy and stressful, that can take you out of the moment. But if you have this block time dedicated for playtime, erotic playtime with your partner, you know that you can kind of like manage your schedule around that.
Ooh. That's a good one. Because I have been super annoyed when I haven't had scheduled playtime, because now it is more scheduled and I'm in the middle of like writing the book and my partner would come in and be like, hey, and like start like massaging my shoulders or something. I'm like, bro, get the fuck off me. I have a deadline and this is not sexy time. Like, I am not feeling sexy right now. Like, you cannot. And he'd be like, whoa, that's like a lot. And I'm like, no, you gotta like get out. Like, and then I get like mean because I'm like, I am not feeling sexy. I'm in my head. I have a deadline. You have no idea. And then I get like more stressed out. And I want to say that, you know, he also is busy and was especially busy at that point. And I think that he just thought like, maybe I needed a break. So like massaging of the shoulders would have been initiating not only love, but like maybe that would have been sexy time. But I knew what it meant because I know him. And I'm like, no. And I'm not trying to bring it back to my relationship, but I do think that these hacks are great because they really can apply to not only LTRs, but also to folks that are in maybe shorter term relationships or even casual sexual relationships.
Obviously,
so
not just a bonus to all bits.
Too. No, exactly. And I'm just sometimes too psychologically involved in my work to think about sex, even though sex is part of my work in relationships. But that doesn't mean
that's confusing.
Yes, that is confusing. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you get horny and you have to separate a lot of times how you react to. I just finished this thing called a SAR for my sex ed certification. And I had to watch porn for like 2 days. And then porn, you know, and different video, not only porn, but it's just for releasing your judgment about anything that you could imagine about all sorts of different facets of things. It was almost 16 hours of porn, and it really did desensitize me. Like, if I see one more porn, I will not be able to handle it. And that it's about kind of disassociating yourself sometimes from your work. And so that's just a shameless share, because I really do love porn, but I need to take a break. It was too much.
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, Uber Lube. Uber Lube is a luxurious silicone lubricant and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it and it blends in when you're done with it. So you have control over that lube. It's long lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety. And honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending Uber Lube to their patients. It's body friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of Uber Lube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair, you can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code SHAMELESS10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com right now with code SHAMELESS10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners, showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons: external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
So let's move on from April being
porn break.
My porn break that has nothing to do with that particular thing, but scheduling sex is important, and you can make scheduling sex sexy. We have hacks for that on our own in our book to make it less like schedule-y, like in my calendar, and more sexy. So let's go on. It's number six. We're on number six, which is lucky number six.
I love it.
Well, if for people that they know me, they know I love sexy happy hour. So I'm kind of going back to scheduling.
Oh, sexy happy hour. That's good.
Yeah, schedule sexy happy hour. You know, it's different than the sexual kind of playtime, because that's a time that you're engaging in behavior. But sexy happy hour is something that you and your partner do like once a week, once a month. And that's a dedicated time. It's a sexy time. You maybe wear lingerie, nothing. You have a sexy environment. And this is a time for you to talk about sex, because part of kind of improvement of any kind of sexual activity is the communication piece. But if we only talk about sex when things are not going well, the moment we're initiating our partners, like, oh, here it comes again, they get defensive. But if you have sexy happy hour, you can kind of like organize it however you want. So I tell people like a beginning of the process, you can talk about fantasies that you have. Maybe you want to engage in the fantasies, not engage in the fantasies, and also kind of like talking about what are some of the things that you guys did that worked like during last few weeks, and what are some of the things you want more of? So for example, how it could be applicable to the firmer erection is that many of my clients, as they enter different stages of life, they might need more physical stimulation. There's nothing wrong with them. It's not like I'm now less attracted to partner. You just need more manual stimulation. That would be a perfect time to talk about it in a sexy way. And it can help you to kind of like have kind of build on the psychological arousal, help you to have structured communication about sex and give and receive feedback. So it's like a check-in, like a sexy check-in about the relationship.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the check-ins, but I think a lot of people think that like that's, we were talking about this earlier today, talking about sex and how scary that can be. Oh no, we have to talk about sex. And there's so many ways to make it sexy and fun and playful. And I don't know how you feel about this, like if you have a formula on how to have those conversations. I'm a big fan of talking about the shiny things to start with, not like here's what's wrong. especially like if we're, you know, like half naked or wearing lingerie or something. But like, you know, what's working really well? You know, what are we wanting more of? And like, maybe also like what's not working here. And, but like, you know, start with the juicy stuff and the connection. And if you're into drinking a glass of wine or eggnog, because it's the holidays over here, then do that. And if you want your mocktail or your bubble water, then you do that too. But I also want to emphasize like the importance of this for a lot of folks. If they hear that, they might be like, why do we need to schedule a sex life conversation?
What does that have to do with firm
an erection?
But it does.
Totally. But like, you know, if there's stuff going on, like there's past resentments, repair that needs to happen, some stressors, some conversations that we had that we never finished, my cock might not perform the way I wanted to, because that's all, it's all connected, right? I'm assuming that's why the sex life check-in is important.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up that kind of like, we want to make sure that we're talking about juicy stuff. I tell people, I kind of think about for sexy happy hour, 4-to-1 ratio, right? Like you're talking about 4 things that's working, and 4 things could be small things. Like when you kissed my neck last time, that drove me crazy. And when you tease this way, it was amazing. And like for an ass, you can talk about, I want more of this. This would work so much better for me. Or you can tease during kind of like a sexy happy hour talking about it, or seeing something like with many people who are into erotica, watching porn together, part of the sexy happy hour, they watch these things, listen to these things to build up that erotic energy in their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It all makes sense to my brain. I don't know about everyone else's, but it's all perfect gold. Okay, so what about number 7? Wait, so you said 6 is lucky? I thought 7 was lucky.
Well, for me, I my life rolls in 6s.
Oh,
it's okay. Not about me again.
So lucky just... number 7.
Well, number 7 is like exploring new activities. And that's something that you can do in like, in a talk about it during sexy happy hour, like having your sex bucket list. And hopefully with this kind of particular exercise, you want to engage in things that are not erection focused, right? It could be kind of maybe exploring a new toy and kind of seeing how would that be. Because sometimes when we are in the kind of routine of doing same things, then that if we had some challenges in the past, the moment we are at the part of step 2 of 4 step, maybe that chatter starts. But now if we're doing kind of exploring the new sex toy, or doing like some kind of a sexy massage or tantra, those things can help us to kind of our brain to go in the mode of learning. And at times, if it's slightly challenging, that can help us to go in the state of flow. So that helps us really to break that connection of anxiety with our body. And it can build kind of like fun with your partner. When it comes to new activity, I tell people to kind of maybe pair it with something that you do that you enjoy. Maybe like you start with that kind of foreplay that you love. And then as part of the core play, you're doing this new activity of maybe tantric exercises, or it could be kind of sexy massages, or like whatever you think that you want to do that's not erection focused. Again, the idea is not whether you can have an erection or not. The idea is like practice a different muscle of kind of like erotic energy in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about a mental muscle, right?
You have muscles in your brain.
Okay. So that finishes the 7 hacks. And I have a question, because some folks out there, they might try these hacks and they might be really regimented about trying them, and they might hit roadblocks. They might come to different areas or times where these things don't work, right? They might work sometimes, and then they might not work sometimes. So what are some of the options if this is me, right? I've tried these psychological hacks and I'm still having erectile issues, and my cock is soft and I still want to be able to play with my partner. Can you talk about what the options are for someone like me or that person?
Absolutely. I think the first, like, I see a common challenges that people have. One is that it could be a physiological thing, right? That you tried all of this mindfulness strategies, kind of talking to your partner, and still it's hard to kind of like get an erection, maintain an erection. You feel like it's not all psychological. Going to your urologist, it's really, really helpful to do a kind of a test. If it's blood flow, if it's hormone, sometimes I see that it's a side effect of medication you're taking. Like we know that antidepressant at time, kind of anxiety medication can lead to issues with performance. And it's just a matter of you talking to your physician about it, like not stopping the medication on your own, saying that my sex life is important for me, when I take this medication, has a side effect. And there's a number of different things that your physician can do to help you manage that. And if you want a firm erection, everyone can have a firm erection with the kind of medical interventions and all the strategies out there. Like, that's something you can have. But I invite people to kind of think about the kind of building that kind of like the working on the performance issues, if that's an issue, and kind of alleviate that. If you're interested in this, sometimes it's a matter of like, you know, like not having the right sequence, not having the right tools, or kind of problem solving with someone. So it's like two ways of doing it. There are so many great, wonderful courses that you can take going back on to kind of, you can get all sorts of information that you can kind of like take the class. And also there are a guided session with it. Like, you have coaching sessions. So that would be a perfect place that you can get live feedback. Like, maybe you don't want to invest on sex coaching or sex therapy. You have this hour with the kind of in a group coaching that this is what I do. What are the missing piece? Mm-hmm. The other piece is that it's a kind of like, if you are someone that you want to kind of like find more straightforward solution, go work with a sex therapist or a sex coach. It's like, again, getting a coach, like if you want to kind of like improve your running speed or you want to kind of lift heavier, you're hiring a kind of a personal trainer or a coach. It's the same thing. Sometimes it's just a matter of like asking people, what are some of the things like the kind of weight training that you can perfect your form that can help you to see the result that you want quicker?
Yes. Go seek support. If you feel stuck, seek support. And I just wanted to, I know we have to wrap up here, just add one hack to people who might be in a relationship or hooking up with someone who is having erectile issues. One of my favorite hacks is don't shame that dick, and just let the person know it's okay if your cock is hard or soft. I'm just happy to play with you. And there's so many things we can do. It doesn't have to have a firm erection. You don't have to have a firm erection. You have fingers, you have a mouth, you have a whole body. And that in itself can be really helpful because when we're actually like,
you have a butt and a prostate.
You got all kinds of holes. I mean, we got all kinds of fun things to play with. I have a shit ton of sex toys. So there we go. So yeah, I think that that can be really helpful. But these are all really, really insightful. I love this. That I love, like, April and I are both type A. We love things laid out. We're like, seven, this is perfect. We love numbers. So thank you so much, Dr. Molly. Can you please tell our listeners, because on speaking to what you're talking about, I assume you still work one-on-one with clients. How can people find you, work with you? I know you have a wonderful podcast.
You still have your podcast in Farsi as well. I know you launched one, and I love that because I want to hear more about that too. So sorry to interrupt, but I was like, oh my God,
you tell us all the things. We want all the things.
Oh, thank you so much for your support. So I have an English show called Sexology. Wherever you guys are listening to this show, you can find that. And that's a weekly show that I've been airing for 7 years. So you can definitely check that out. Make sure you're subscribing. For people who are Farsi speaking individual, I also have a bi-weekly podcast called Sexology Again, but it's written in Farsi. And I give people sex education. It's primarily I'm answering people's questions, giving them sex education, because what I found that it's just, we don't have a broad range of information when it comes to kind of like the sexual education in Farsi. And people have, sometimes they have traditional views and they kind of like force people to think about, if you're not thinking this way, you're broken. So my idea with that is kind of like normalize different types of pleasure and help people to be able to kind of like get the education if they're not necessarily fitting that kind of like a very rigid box of what quote unquote is a normal sex. Also, I have a private practice in LA. People can find all of that information, sexologypodcast.com. Again, I love your show. I love your book, filled with great tips and strategies and practical tools. Again, thank you so much for having me. And this was definitely a wonderful opportunity to chat with you guys and your listeners.
Well, you're brilliant, Dr. Molly. And I want to practice my sexual Farsi. So I just love learning new words, especially when it's related to sex. So I'm going to check out that podcast because I think you can absorb language in so many different ways. Even if you're not doing Duolingo, you could actually absorb it just by watching shows. I watch a lot of French shows, but you know, I actually have watched different shows in Farsi, and listening to your podcast will be really cool. And you could just listen to it in English if you're an English speaker, which most of our listeners are. And the Sexology podcast is so cool. I think we're on your show, and I think that's going to come out soon in December 2023. Thank you for just being in the work that you are doing right now and being here with us and being such an inspiration to so many people all over the planet. And we just adore you, Dr. Molly. So thank you to all of our listeners out there. We love you so much. Remember, reviews are important. And if you've taken the time to review the podcast, thank you. We also now have a book, Shameless Sex, and reviews help more people find that book all over. So if you're on Amazon, review the book. Shameless Sex is the book. You can just search for it. It's on Barnes and Noble. It's at your local bookshop. It's actually anywhere books are sold. But we really do value the reviews, y'all. It helps us in more ways than you'll ever know. And I know that you love us because you've been listening. And if you're new to listening, then please show us your love too, because we truly do love you. And we do this because we want to help the world have more shameless sex. And your reviews help folks find people like Dr. Maioli.
Maioli.
Sorry.
Close it up.
I don't know where this came from. Oh, that's awesome. See, we're humans. We're just not robots.
We're not robots
too. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week for another episode of Shameless Sex. See you next Tuesday. I can't talk anymore. Good thing we're done with the show. All right, y'all. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.